This is Reuven Levy. We're learning from the book Gan HaShalom from Rav Shalom Aaron Shlita in the Hebrew version of the book, The Garden of Peace. We're on page 128 in the Hebrew version. So we're now in a chapter talking about the relationship between the husband and the wife. Entering into a section now which is headed to Tsumat Lev or Tava, attention or lust. Which one is it? Right? It's easy for a man to fool himself and to tell himself that he's sharing his wife with attention, and he's really not. He's sharing his wife with lust. There's a difference. What's the difference? Difference is who I'm doing it for. I'm doing it for me, or I'm doing it for her. Who's the focus of my attention? It might look the same from the outside. If you were to take a video, it might look the same, but what's going on under the surface is crucial. Because although I could fool myself, and I might even tell myself that I can fool my wife, she's not fooled for a minute, but let's say I pretend to myself I'm fooling my wife too. She thinks I'm actually giving her attention. Even if those, if I manage to fool myself and my wife, Hashem isn't fooled. So, it's something that I have to work on. Mamash, I have to work on. And it's not natural, right? Our natural instinct is, we have this ta'ava, the Yetzer Hara, that's how we're built. That's our default position. Our default position is, we're not automatically tzaddikim. We're not automatically just thinking about my wife and not thinking about myself. Even if I want to, it's such a big Yetzer Hara, I can't decide to simply switch that off. I can't come to this class today and say, oh, you know what? I thought about it, actually. The attention I'm giving to my wife is mostly selfish, it's mostly for me. And you know what? I appreciate that's wrong. You know what? I'm going to stop that. I'm going to change that. And then go home and decide, right, that's it, I've changed. I understand, I was making a mistake. From now on, I'm just going to focus on you and not on me, and we'll forget all that stuff, and I had it wrong. Even if I decide 100% that I want to do that, I can't. It's not that simple. Can't just make the decision to now ignore my own bodily urges, let's call it that, my own ta'avot, pretend they don't exist. Just because rationally and logically I understand that it's not correct. It doesn't work that way. They're still going to be there. My job is to recognize what's going on, to accept that it's going on, and admit it, and then I can pray to Hashem for it to change. It's only going to change through the prayers. And I'm only going to pray, like we said before, if I've got motivation to pray, if I actually understand what I'm doing wrong, and I appreciate the seriousness of what I'm doing wrong, and the effect it's having, and actually want it to stop. Then I'm in a position that eventually I'm going to be able to approach my wife and have a relationship with her which is not based on selfish motives. It's not based on lust. It's based on giving, on true love. But I have to know that's not going to be immediate. But also is true is that whatever effort I make does have results. It's also not the case that we shouldn't think the opposite. That even though I want to try to be nice to my wife, I want to give her attention, because I know what the Rav's saying and I understand it, and in the Beit Midrash and I'm learning it, I'm with it 100%. It's not completely black and white. So it's not that when I go home now, is all going to fall apart and I'm just going to be an animal and whatever. No. It's going to be that whatever work I do, I'm going to get there. I'm going to slowly improve. I'm now going to give my wife a bit more attention, and my fiery animal nature is going to be reduced a little bit. And so on and so on. Slowly, slowly. And eventually I'm going to get there. It's not going to happen overnight. But it's also not the case of no effect at all. But I have to pray, and I'm a complete animal for 20 years, and then suddenly I wake up one day and I'm a tzaddik. No, it's going to be a slow process. But there is if I have a desire to do good, to change the way I am, to recognize where I'm currently holding a not a very good place. Everyone should be able to say that. And if you're telling yourself that you're holding in a good place, you're lying to yourself. None of us are holding in a good place, because there's much better places where we need to get to. So I need to tell myself, where I'm currently holding today is not in a good place. I can do better than this. Hashem knows I can do better than this. Hashem wants me to do better than this. I want me to do better than this. And with that attitude, things can start moving. That should be my goal. A bit more each day. A little bit each day. Okay, so let's read what Rav Arash says on this topic. We need to know. After the sin in the Garden of Eden, Hashem punished the wife that she would be tachat ba'ala, she would be, how do we say that, under a husband, subservient to a husband in some way. Right, that was her punishment. K'mo shekhetuv, like it's written in the Pasuk, Bereshit. Ve'el ishech teshukatech, and to your husband you will desire, but who yimshobach, and he will rule over you. That's the nature of the man male female relationship. To some extent, things are slightly changing now. In some ways, but not in other ways. So in some ways, men and women are now becoming more equal, which is an aspect of Gula, aspect of the redemption, when the sun and the moon become of the same light. So we're seeing now that women's rights and women are becoming more and more on an equal footing, towards an equal footing with men. That's part of the redemption process. That's natural. But still, even within that process, there is still an underlying theme, which is the woman is dependent on the man. Right? And that's the true position of her neshama. That's the true position of where she's holding. Even though from the outside, she might be a big career woman and she tells her husband what to do and not the other way around and all that nonsense. Underneath, it's still exactly how Hashem made it, which is that she is dependent upon the husband. Mashma'ut ha'onesh hazehi, the meaning of this punishment is, Barosh u'bushana, first of all, Shekol ha'chayut ba'simcha shel isha talui babal, that all of the life and the happiness of the wife is dependent on the husband. Right? That's what we learned in the rest of the book. She gets all her life force through him. Ki mashne ma hu yimshalbach, because that thing which it was said in the Pasuk, that hu yimshalbach, that he will rule over her. Perusha, the meaning is, shakol talui bo, hakol, that everything is dependent upon him, everything. That's what it means, that he'll rule over. It means she's dependent upon him. What she gets is based on what he gives her. Lachen, therefore, habel chayev latet liishto harbeh tusumat lev va'ahava. Therefore, husband needs to give his wife a lot of attention and love. B'shvil shehi tiyeh semecha u'musharet, in order that she will be happy and content. Right? That's the only way she's going to be happy and content, when she gets the love and attention from her husband. Otherwise, she's not happy and content. She might look like she's not sad and despaired. She might look like she's happy, but it's not real. It's like fake happiness. It's like happiness that people get after a beer, when they're down the pub, after they've been out with the guys, hey, we're happy. We're not really happy. We're pretending we're happy. Right? So her true happiness can only come from her husband when he gives her love and attention. But there is one thing, one fundamental thing, which prevents a husband giving his wife attention and love. And that is his lust for women, his lust to be with her. Shenim shechet meyoto or hanasha nachash, which came from the skin of the snake that we spoke about in previous lecture. Shebonit labshu achachet, that they were clothed in after the sin. Right, it came from that time, but Joel speaking about it today, that the whole sin stemmed from that point, from the sin of the earth, the slaves or Chava and Adam together. That was the beginning of the sin. And the result of the sin is that we got that ta'ava inside of us. Ki kol zman shel Adam yesh ta'ava l'ishto, because the whole time that a husband has a lust for his wife, lo yichal liot lo b'shum ofen ahava leha, he cannot have in any way love for her, not true love. Ba'ava she'otah ba'al choshev she'yesh lo l'ishto, and the love which that husband thinks he has for his wife, he kula anochiot, it's complete ego. Ki huma faresh et ha'ta'ava ka'ava l'ishto, because he is explaining his lust as if it's love for his wife. Husband saying that desire I have for my wife, that's love. Nah, it's not. Even if you think it is, it's not. You might tell yourself it is. You can jump up and down and say, no, I love my wife, I know it. But Rav Arash is telling us, and who are we to argue with our Siddiqim, that it's not real love. It's lust. We're lying to ourselves. And the proof.
Do we start out with lust? Is that the starting point? And then we have to work somewhere from there?
Yeah, the truth is yes. Because the truth is, love only comes after a lot of work. So it can't be there at the beginning.
So then when we get married,
yeah,
we're lustful, not
yeah.
loving.
Yeah, pretty much. I think, yeah.
And then also the same thing while working on the British alone to try to develop to overcome this lust.
Right.
Praying for that, praying for all the to make no comments and to internalize the mood, all the mood in God's Shalom at the same time. And that's gonna be a process.
The British Shalom is just the root, right? It's the root of what we're talking about here. So it's the same thing, it just has different results. So one of the results of not working on our Kedusha is that we don't have Shalom Bayit. We have this, at best, we have this pretend thing, which is based on lust, and it's not based on love. At best, if we're lucky. Hashem is kind to us. At the beginning, he lets us go with that, because he knows how we're made. And he knows that we weren't created to be tzaddikim. We're created to try and become tzaddikim. But if people are going to get married and stay together for more than 5 minutes, so he gives us a chance, he gives us a break, right? That as if he's saying, I know you're only together here because of lust between you. And it's not real. However, I'm making the world that works, at least initially. You're going to have to work on yourself if you're not going to destroy the marriage. And we see that people who only have that and don't try to give their wife real attention and real love, right? But the interesting thing is, so let's see the proof. So he says here that Haraya, the proof for this, for what he's saying, that this is not real love. Because immediately after the husband has satisfied his desire, immediately disappears his great love. Right? The husband, and his love for her disappears as if it was never there. What's he saying? He's saying when a man is with a woman, when he's with his wife, and there is between them at that time that they're together, apparently such great love, we're calling it love, it's not, it's false, but we're saying it's love. So Rav Arash says the proof is, as soon as the man is finished what he's doing, he suddenly sees it's disappeared. He has no love anymore for his wife. It's all gone. So it wasn't real. If it was real, it's not dependent on finishing being with his wife. It's not dependent on that. It should be should be a minute later, should be 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, should be as strong as it was 5 minutes previously. But it's not. It disappears like that. It's gone. And that's a proof to a man to know that actually it wasn't real love, it was just lust. And a husband can even be disgusted with his wife. He can be with his wife, he can love her, he can be so excited to be with her, let's phrase it that way. So excited. He's finished and now he's like, just wants to. Not that he's gone, he's like. It's not even that it's disappeared. He's now, that's the opposite. He's like, leave me alone. Like, he doesn't even want to be there. Right, that's for the opposite. And for sure he has no interest and no patience to speak with her and to continue to show her signs of love. But al piwab hu nirdam, and most of the time he'll just fall asleep. All of his relationship to his wife. And therefore his entire relation with his wife is only in order that he will be able to fulfill his desire and satisfy himself. That's the sorry position that we're in, right? That's the truth. And any man who is denying that is lying to themselves. And because this happens, because after the husband has been with his wife, that he is no longer interested in her at all, and all that disappears, then the wife, unfortunately, but it's true, and we have to accept this, the wife feels dead. Feels like death. The Rabbi Brody tells on his CDs of how he's spoken to mikveh ladies that look after the mikveh, and the wives who confide in the mikveh lady because there's no one else to talk to, and they cannot stand having to go back and be with her husband. Because it is extremely, extremely painful for a wife to feel like she's being used. Which she is. She's being used. But to feel that. Initially in the marriage, Hashem kind of puts this smoke screen where everybody thinks that, oh, and everything's good and everyone's happy to be together and to be with each other. But after a while, Hashem removes the smoke screen because he wants the husband to work on himself, right? So he doesn't allow him to get away with that anymore. And now starts turning the heat up because the wife is not happy. Wife's not, what's going on here? And eventually it gets to a point where the wife is like, she can't stand it. Interestingly, also I don't know if he's going to bring it here, but it occurs to me that that's the reason, one of the reasons, not the reason, one of the reasons why we have the time of separation, right? When a family is keeping Tarat and Mishpacha, so there's a separation between the man and the wife for 2 weeks, roughly 2 weeks a month, half the month, he's not with her. So a husband should notice himself how much attention and love he's giving to his wife at which times. When I'm not with her, am I basically ignoring her? And then suddenly, when I'm allowed to be with her again, oh, suddenly I have all this love and attention that I'm now prepared to shower all over my wife. But the other two weeks a year, my attention is kind of like, disappeared for a couple of weeks. Shows it's not real. Right? It shouldn't be affected at all. In fact, it should be stronger because I know that in those other times, In the 2 weeks when I'm not with my wife, I need to show her more attention, more love, so she is comfortable. She's not missing the fact that we're not together. So the truth is, if we think about it, we're actually in a very sad, sorry state. Men are in a very sad, sorry state. Hashem gave us a very difficult task in this area. Mamash, very difficult. He gave us this very strong ta'ava. And he said, I want you to realize that this strong ta'ava is false. It's not real, and it's not real love. And I want you to realize it, and to deal with it, and to change it into what it should be. And in order to help you, if you're lucky, I'm going to make sure your wife makes sure you get the message. If you're lucky. Kshiyesh labar ratzon liyotim ishto. When a husband has a desire to be with his wife, hulo b'matzav shel netina. He is not in a position of giving. Ela b'matzav shel ratzon lekabel. Rather, he's in a position of wanting to take, wanting to receive. V'hu eino mahava makor l'chayot shela. And he does not give her a place to be. What does that mean? Mimele hu gam lo moshelba b'ishtom zelzelebo. And therefore he's not in control of her. She's in control of him. In order to be a man, right? In order to fulfill the role of the man, we need to give. We need to be the one who gives. And not the one who receives. The one who receives is the woman. When a man is lustful for his wife, which we are, unfortunately, but we are, then we switch that position. We stop being the man who wants to give, and we start acting like the woman, so to speak, that wants to receive. We just want to receive. And that messes everything up. That's hafuch, that's exchange too, that's things on its head, that's everything backwards. And we're not giving her what she needs because she needs to receive. We need to try in that circumstance to give. Now, like we mentioned at the beginning, it's not going to be possible for me to just give 100% and think, and I'm nothing, I'm FS, not think about myself at all. However, wherever I'm holding on that scale, if I'm holding on, I want to receive 80%, but I'll give you 20%. Right? If I hold myself, that's where I think I'm holding right now. So my job is to try and push it. I'm now holding on wanting to receive 80 and give 20. So let's move it down a bit. Let's say I'll aim for 50, 60, and I'll try and give 30, 40. I'll do more. I'm not going to change overnight and be FS and give her 100. It's not going to happen. But I can assess where I'm holding and try and do better. That's my job. That's my job today. And to pray. Hashem, help me do better. Hashem, I'm really not happy with this. I have to feel the pain, feel how terrible it is. I have to beat myself up a little bit here. Oh, so this is not acceptable. It's terrible. It's disgusting. It's horrifying. I have to be very strong in myself in order to that I'm going to change that. To fight against this Yetzirah, it's very hard. I'm happier to like put my hands up. Oh, what can I do? That's the Yetzirah. What can you do? Can't fight it. Okay, bring it on. I'll just, you know. So that's not the way. It's not what Hashem wants. But in order to fight fire, I need a bit of fire. Where's that fire I'm going to use to fight? The fire is going to be because I'm not, this is disgusting, this is terrible, I'm not going to act like that, this is not how, it's not a Ben Adam, this is not how a person needs to be, this is like an animal. I have to be very strong with myself. And say to Hashem, help me, I don't want to do this anymore, I don't want to be like this anymore, Hashem, help me. And then he's going to help me, not overnight, I'm not going to be sadik tomorrow, but I'm going to see changes, I'm going to see progress, and my wife is going to also see changes. She'll probably comment to me on how I'm being a lot more kind and attentive or whatever. Okay.
But no, women also know how to build a nest. Like a bird builds a nest for women. Women build nests too. They're really big into that nesting thing.
Okay.
And they'll tell you what part you need to play in that. You just have to listen. You hear that so that you can be, it's like shalom bias, really. If you're not doing something right, they'll clue you in.
Yeah, but even if your wife says to you, even if she says, which is very difficult for a wife to be so blunt, certainly in this area, wives, a sneer wife won't really approach this subject with a husband, not in a direct way. But she might say, look, I don't feel very comfortable that you're actually giving me attention here. Even if she says something of that nature, which I think is very unlikely for a wife to approach it, but even if she did say that, I wouldn't know what to do with that. You're right, I need to, yeah, 100%, yeah, I understand, sorry, I'm going to try and make more effort. In one ear, out the other. It's not going to hold. Until she locks the bedroom door and says, that's it, you're out here, I'm not interested anymore, then I'm actually going to do something. Then I'm going to take it to heart. But until then, it's too strong, the Yetzer Hara, for me to just say, oh, you know what, you're right, let's drop all that lust and go with love. Yeah, okay, I hear you. It's not going to happen.
Well, I think that women can tell you what they need to be happy, what you can do to make them happy. And if they can't verbalize that, there are ways to help them identify and say something.
There are, but men aren't. I'm not programmed for that. I'm programmed to enjoy myself. That's my programming. And it takes a very big man, which means it takes a lot of prayer to get out of my Yetzer Hara, to go against that programming. The only way I'm going to go against that programming is through a lot of prayer. Because what happens, because otherwise, even if a woman has had enough, she says, this is it, I can't take it anymore. Right? You're treating me like whatever you're treating me, and it's killing me. I can't accept it anymore, and I'm not interested. So what does a husband do? So a husband without this book, without emunah, without the tools, says, fine, what can I do? That's who I am. That's it. Sorry. They go to the divorce courts. Because he says, what can I do? That's who I am. That's my nature. What do you want? You want me to be something I'm not? You want me to not have a desire for you? Can't do that. That's impossible. He doesn't realize that it is possible to change that. It is possible to change that. It's not real. It's just a dim or not. It's just imagination. It's just a Yetzer Hara that Hashem has given me. And it can change. It's only going to change when Hashem changes it, not me. I can't change it. I can't get into my own head and start changing my imaginations. When I see a woman, I'm going to decide I'm not seeing a woman, I'm seeing a donkey. It's not going to happen. I can't do that. I can't. Only he can do that. He can change what's going on in here. But not I can't do as much exercise as on, I know, cognitive behavioral therapy as I want. It's not going to happen. Okay. I've been on time. Oh, Tov, let's stop there because I need to dash and get home today. Tov, Baruch Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.